Good morning. Good morning. You see that sunlight? See the sunlight? We need that sunlight. I'll tell you right now. It needs to turn up the thermostat. I don't know what your readings were, but my bald head, and it is. I know. Betty and I were talking. She said Dell was told always wear a hat, and I got to level with you. When I wear a hat, it messes up my hair. Sadly, it's a true story. There's not a whole lot of hair there, but it does. I look like Larry. I said, perhaps you recognize me from my body of work with the Three Stooges. I look just like Larry. Well, it's wonderful to be here, and what a great day this is in the kingdom of God. This is in every way, this is a Mission Sunday. And of course, we're going to have the big banquet, and boy, Dick and the mission team do a beautiful job of orchestrating this. Everyone is encouraged to come to the table. We're going to take that message down to 11:11 as well. And I'm going to keep the message a little briefer today because I know the food's hot, and we want to be able to gather around the table and break bread together and celebrate this communion in Christ and undergird and support the great mission that is going to go forth as the mission team is preparing. But at this time, are there any parish notices to come before us before we begin our worship service? Any parish notices that need to come before us? Yes, sir, brother. Oh, thank you. I appreciate you pointing that out. And Greg was forgetting, this Wednesday is what we call the Ash Wednesday Quiet Communion. That's just our vernacular here, okay? We call it the Quiet Communion. In essence, if we've got visitors or newcomers today, we want you to know you're invited between 6 and 7 p.m. Wednesday night, Ash Wednesday evening. Come to the sanctuary. There will be spiritual, ethereal music that is playing constantly. You come on in as you hear these hymns. You can come singularly, right, Reefa? You can come by yourself, or you can bring others. You can bring come with a family. But at any time between 6 and 7, when you're ready, you come forward to the altar, and we will serve you communion and also the ash of Ash Wednesday. So that's this Wednesday. Thank you, Professor. From 6 to 7. And then 7 o'clock, the choir will begin its practice. Brother Dave, I think you've got a really important announcement also to lift up.
Yeah, Thursday I spent a couple hours up with my sister, and she wanted me to tell everybody thanks a lot for all the cards and the prayers that everybody has sent her way. And she said to tell you all that she loves you a lot. So what she done, her handwriting's not that good. So what she done is she sent 2 boxes of candy to put out to show her gratitude and thanks for all the cards and everything. But I got thinking, make sure that the kids that's got the peanut allergies don't get into this. And what I'll do is I'll put them out here on the table or whatever people wants to do with them. And then I'm going to take one down. She wanted one to go to the Sunday school class down for her Sunday school class because she just loved that class. So we'll decide, you know, I mean, like I said, just be careful that the kids don't get into the candy that's got the peanut allergies. Yes, sir. So, but like I said, she's doing real good. She's had therapy in there. When I was there, and she was up walking around doing real good. So, I mean, she's taking it, you know, she's ready to go home with Brian, and she's ready to go see the Lord, I'll tell you, because she is hanging in there big time tough. Thank you.
Thank you, Brother Dave. It is, I know, tender for you, Fritzy's brother. Tender for you. Our prayers continue with you. But what a gesture of love. That is a loving soul. We love her. Any other sharings before we begin our worship service? Any other parish notices?
Don't forget lunch.
Don't forget lunch. And as I said, bragging on you, Dick, and your team, you do a marvelous job of making it clear everyone comes to the table. It's an invitation. Be at the table above all things. Be at the table. If you do have a change offering, a love offering, why, that will go to support this great mission in Christ that's going to be leaving the church either next Saturday or next Sunday.
Next Saturday.
And you know what I'm hoping for you? For all the hard work you're doing, I hope you get some good weather down there, brother. And send it back to us. At this time, let's prepare our hearts for morning worship. Rejoice, we are glad in it. Open our eyes to your presence, open our hearts to your sovereign reign, and on this Mission Sunday, open our hands for your service to the glory of the Christ, we pray. Amen.
Yeah.
this Transfiguration Sunday, let us join together in the call to worship. God calls us to the mountaintop.
Christ, we come.
Christ invites us to the place where the Spirit's presence is revealed in power and glory.
God, we are here.
The Spirit offers us a revelation of the living Lord.
As we worship this day, open our eyes to your presence, O God, and transfigure our lives to mirror your own. Amen.
And now lift up your hearts, your voices, unto the Lord in praise. Number 57, Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing. Opportunity. Welcome your neighbors to the passing of the peace. Time, we invite the children to come forward for the children's moments. Let me bring this over. Anybody not see this last week? Look at what you're going to get today. Now, you're going to get one of these. You get to keep it. Okay? You're going to get to keep it. And, of course, there'll be suckers up here. Brother Dave will come up here in just a moment. And that's the one you get to give to somebody and tell them that Jesus loves them. And, of course, the Valentine is very, very appropriate. Frankly, as I shared with Deb and Roger, that any Sunday it would be appropriate. The messages of the gospel and of the Old Testament, the word of the Lord is always a word of love. And so any Sunday we could have a heart sucker to be sure. But even though this is Transfiguration Sunday, I have chosen another message. It was also suggested for this week, and it follows, in fact, last week's lesson from Mark, and it's just simply this. It's another ministry of love from Jesus. And it is done in a most powerful way. Because there's a man who comes to Jesus. Again, he is sick with a disease. But this time, the disease is known as leprosy. And children, I don't know whether any of us are acquainted with anything like that. But in its day, and you could talk to mommy and daddy or grandparents about this. In its day, it was probably as feared or more so than Ebola today. You know, you've seen some of the stories in the news about Ebola and how those people have to be isolated, kept from others so that the disease doesn't spread. Well, leprosy actually couldn't be spread like that, but people didn't know that. And so people with leprosy were isolated. They were thrown out of the cities. They weren't even fit for worship of God, to be in the presence of God for worship. Now, that was in the Old Testament. That was an actual Bible teaching in the Old Testament, Leviticus chapters 11 through 15. But Jesus now comes. He is the full expression of the good news because he is God in the flesh. So he has the right to do what he chooses to do. God always has the right to do that which God chooses to do. So everyone else would have nothing to do with this poor sick man. And he comes crying to Jesus and he says, you know, Lord, if you choose, if you're willing, you can make me clean. And Jesus stretched out his hand. Nobody would ever touch a leper. Never. Jesus stretches out his hand and he touches him. He didn't just say, you're healed. He wanted to make a point. He reached out and he touched him. Nobody on earth would do that. But Jesus did, because he loved him. And the leprosy left him, and he immediately was made clean. Now, this is a powerful message of love, and that if there are those in our world today that are socially isolated, they're thrown out of circles, that, you know, nobody can get near them, they feel so unwanted, they feel so unloved, good news, Jesus loves them, just as Jesus loves you. Now, what we're going to do, see, we want to go out and share that message. That's what that sucker is going to be about. You give it to somebody, you tell them, you remind them, Jesus loves you. And then do what you can to witness to that love of Jesus. Let's go to the circle now. It's a big mission Sunday. Let's ask the Lord to help us in this mission. Are you ready? Let us pray to the Lord. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for coming to the world in Jesus to show us your love. And Lord, help us to go out and share with other boys and girls that you love them. You love everyone. So help us in that mission, and we will give you thanks in Jesus' name. Now, as I said, amen. You're going to have a sucker, right? You're going to have your heart sucker, correct? You're going to get that. And then you're going to get another sucker that you're going to give away. So I'm going to have Brother Dave come up. We're going to hand out both to you. And I'm going to have, Bailey, when we're done, I'm going to have you take these back to Grandma and Grandpa. All right. There you go. You recognize that, don't you, Cole? And like I say, Bailey, if you would, sweetie, you take it on back to Grandma and Grandpa. Or Mom and Daddy. To Mommy. Is he? Leave them up here? All righty. Well, I'll tell you what. There, as I said, any Sunday, it is appropriate to have the heart representing love, because the gospel, Jesus' message that he came to proclaim, is always a message of love to improve our lives. Sometimes we're challenged by his message, but it's because he loves us, right? So we will keep these up here, Deb, keep them up here, and it'll be a privilege to hand these out. So we might have another, we might have a few Sundays. All right. Oh, and I got to get my microphone ready, Dave. Guess who's going to carry the microphone today? It's going to be Chloe. Chloe's going to carry the mic. I'm going to have her carry the mic, and the rest of you, you go ahead and return to your pews, and don't forget, hand that sucker out. Maybe, you know, maybe it'll happen during the table fellowship. Maybe that'd be the place you'll do it. Chloe's going to help me out today. If we have any visitors, we want to remind you that there are visitors cards out there. If you want to take a moment, fill it out, drop it in the plate during the offering. The ushers will get me those cards. It's a thrill to see those cards, especially when you've got your phone number on there. Because you've got your phone number, we're going to call you. We're going to get you better acquainted with this marvelous church family. Now then, joys and concerns for the sake of our visitors. It could be a birthday announcement, a wedding anniversary announcement. It could be a testimony of how the Lord of love is strengthening your life, guiding your journey. You want to lift up that good news. It could be a concern. Maybe someone you love is sick. Maybe there's a family in bereavement. Did you hear about the deaths last night because of the ice on the highways? And I don't know about you all, but at one point, for Valentine's Day, Betty, I was going to take her out for lunch. I was going to take her inside to McDonald's this time, Randy. But I'm telling you, it was such a whiteout. We didn't go. We did not go. And my goodness, people died last night in that storm. Maybe it's a concern you want to lift up. Joys or concerns, raise your hands. And I think I saw, was it Shelly back here? You want to come with me, Chloe? And we'll be right over, Rick. You want to come with me, sweetie? Rick won't forget you, brother. Be right over. I did see Shelly back here.
If you could keep in your thoughts and prayers, one of my best friends at work, her 15-year-old son, thought he had flu symptoms last week, and it turned out when he went in that his heart is enlarged, and he was transferred from Lima to Columbus. He's been in Columbus about 10 days or almost 2 weeks. Anyhow, they're trying, whatever they tried last week wasn't working, and they're trying something else, and they should know by Thursday. If it doesn't work, they have suggested to them a heart transplant, and he's 15 years old.
15 years old.
So his name is Aaron Reese, and he's a freshman at Van Wert High School. So if you could keep him and his family in your prayers.
Thank you, Shelly and Laura. We'll have to, where's Laura? Laura, we'll have to make sure we get that name up there, 15 years old, possibly facing a heart transplant. My goodness, Shelly. We want to remember him in prayer. And I did see Rick, you ready to come with me? Chloe, Rick, come with me. We'll come over here. It's good to see you all. Good to see you. These kids don't know who Phil Donahue is.
Yeah, everybody probably knows in here Bob Fail. He's been struggling the last two or three weeks with vertigo, and just like keep him in your prayers. And I guess he's weak at times too. They're trying to kind of find what's going on there, but just need your help or prayers there a little bit.
For Bob Fail, vertigo. Vertigo's horrible, Rick. I've had vertigo. If anyone in this church has ever gone through that, you know how miserable you are. I mean, you just get miserable sick with that. And I see a hand up here.
I think I'm going to repeat what Greg said, but we went to Derek's basketball game yesterday morning, and we got caught in that whiteout. It took us a half an hour to get to go 4.5 miles, and think anybody who made it through that whiteout should be very thankful. And at the mm-hmm. same time, mm-hmm. My prayers go out to the ones who were killed in those accidents.
Amen. Amen, Phil. Thank you, Brother Phil. Yes, it's terrible. I know at one point I looked out. I mean, like I said, I wanted to take Laura for lunch. And I looked out. I couldn't even see Chris and Lisa's house. I couldn't see the road. I mean, you couldn't see just a couple feet in front of you. It was that bad. Here we go, Chloe. Here we go. We'll come over here. Yes, indeed. Is she doing a good job? She's doing a good job.
Most of you know Andy and Alicia Parrott. Their little boy has been in the hospital, hasn't been able to keep anything down for a week, so they don't know what's going on there, but he's still in the hospital, as far as I know, this morning. So keep them in your prayers.
Whoa, Karen. Karen, thank you. Thank you. I didn't even know that. Thank you so much. Thanks, Karen. We've got several that we're lifting up in prayer then. Any other joys or concerns? Chloe's doing such a great job. Well, I tell you, she's a good servant. Yes, indeed. Chloe, you want to come up here and give Vicki the mic? Here, we'll hand it up to her. How about we do it like that? Here we go. We'll have a mic brigade.
On behalf of the United Methodist Women, we have a presentation to make to a gal that's going to receive our special mission recognition pin and certificate. And this gal is very active in missions here in Convoy, and she takes care of a lot of people here in town, takes them to doctor's appointments, gets groceries for them. Whatever you need, you can call Ann, and Ann will be there in her little black van to pick you up. So on behalf of the United Methodist Women, we'd like to present her with our special mission recognition.
Thank you, Vicki. Wow, that's awesome, man. Awesome. Kristen, did you want to share something? Yes, yes. Mike. We sure will. We sure will. Now, your daddy, I remember, he always comes and brings me a treat, Kristen. So what I'm going to do, Chloe and I are going to look and see if there's any more hands. I'm going to put this down here. And be sure to collect this. You tell him that Greg sent him one of the children's sermon treats there, and very good for the Valentine's weekend. But we sure will remember all your family, and you too, Kristen. We remember you in our prayers. Well, Chloe's been doing a great job, but do you recognize who that is? Who is that back there? Who is that? Who is that?
Vicki Stegeman could use a lot of prayers. Anyhow,
she needs dialysis, and her brother was going to help her through it because she didn't want to take it, but then her brother talked her into it, and he's been doing home dialysis for quite a while.
Yeah.
And he told her that he would help her get it set up, go through it, and he died.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. Oh. Oh, my, Roger. That is rough. That is rough. We'll remember her in prayer and the family in the time of bereavement. But my goodness, she's leaning on brother, and then that happens. Are there any other sharings back here? Chloe's doing such a good job. Well, Chloe, how about we walk up here and we'll take one more look? And I see Brother Dave here. Brother Dave here wants to share. All right.
I see that they got Jill Fortney Bowers up there, but I was the one that called that into Phyllis the other day. I talked to Dave. Herman Heisen's married to Pam, and Pam went down there with her, but she can't eat. They got a feeding tube in her right now, and she's going to have surgery on the 19th, but they found a big mass inside. And Dave was telling me that they can't even see her pancreas because of this mass. It's got it covered up, and they don't know exactly yet. They haven't taken a biopsy or anything of it, but She needs her prayers, and Pam for being with her sister. You know, so that's all I know on that as of right now.
Thank you, Brother Dave. I know Linda Bear was sharing with the choir about Jill and mentioned the pancreas, and that's, oh my goodness, such ominous news. So she certainly needs the prayer warriors here to remember her in prayer. What a lot of needs today. Okay, we have a lot of needs to take to the Lord in silent prayer. Are there any others, though, before we close this? Well, can we show an appreciation for Chloe? Chloe, you just do a wonderful job. Thank you. Thank you, Chloe. Let's turn to the Lord now in silent prayer. Lord of love, you turn our mourning into dancing. Speak to us in this silence, in words and in actions. Speak to us that as we gather today to praise you, we may hear your voice. Transform us, we pray, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, and through the power of your Holy Spirit. Deepen our faith as we all unite with the mission today and around the table fellowship. Lord, open our eyes as we break the bread, as Cleopas and his companion broke the bread on the road to Emmaus at the resurrection. In the breaking of the bread, their eyes were opened to your presence. Today, as we break bread at the table, open our eyes to your holy presence. Deepen our faith as we join in the mission of Jesus Christ here and around the world. Bless us as we pray from our hearts now the prayer that Jesus invites us to lift up and pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Let us stand together. This is a hymn to prepare our hearts for the teaching of Mark, the witness of the love of Jesus. Let's stand together. 172, My Jesus, I Love Thee. Seated. And now, as I shared with the children, an alternate text, which is actually the text for this Sunday. You know, our seasons vary for Easter, the date. And this year, the date falls in such a way that this, the regular gospel reading for this Sunday in Epiphany, has now been placed as an alternate text. And alongside, certainly, the text for the Mount of Transfiguration. I told Laura, I said, in 40 years, I've never done any other text other than one of the selected readings from the Synoptic Gospels for the Mount of Transfiguration. So this is first in 40 years, but I do it because it's so appropriate for Valentine's weekend, for the banquet, Dick, for the mission, and for the love of Christ that's going to go out in that mission. So here now, the message from Mark, the Gospel of Jesus Christ. A leper came to him, begging him and kneeling. He said to him, "If you choose, you can make me clean." And moved with pity, Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, "I do choose. Be made clean." And immediately the leprosy left him and he was made clean. After sternly warning him, he sent him away at once, saying to him, "See that you say nothing to anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest, and offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded as a testimony to them." But he went out and began to proclaim it freely and to spread the word, so that Jesus could no longer go into a town openly, but stayed out in the country, and people came to him from every quarter. May God add the blessing of the Holy Spirit to the reading of God's holy word.
Oh.
I'm all smiles for a good reason. I'm all smiles on this celebration of Valentine weekend. You know, there's good news. Good news cannot be contained. Good news cannot be silenced. I got a video we're going to watch here. And Tim, don't be bashful on the sound. We want to hear this as well. As I said, good news cannot be silenced. The occasion was, here it is, Valentine's weekend. We're going to go back now from the 15th of February. We're going to go back to Christmas Day, Christmas morning. And the occasion is, the context, Shelley and Steve Holden have received news in a clever way from Derek and Aaron, right? Derek and Aaron, that they are going to be a grandmother and a grandfather. You wait till you see. This was filmed in slow motion. And it, wow, wow. Good news cannot be contained. Good news cannot be silenced. Let's take a look at this. Congratulations. Happy are the feet of those bearing the good news, right? Oh, my goodness. Now, Steve, I want to give him credit. He can keep a secret because Steve had already received the little hint. I think he had opened his package and it said Grandpa's hunting buddy. Was that it, Steve? Or fishing buddy? Something like that. So Steve already knew. Well, good news cannot be contained. Good news cannot be silenced. We went to see Fritzy. And when we were with Angie and there was Cody there. Cody, by the way, Cody, your nephew Cody, has a birthday on Tuesday. Care to guess how old he'll be? 17 years old. 17. And I told Angie, and of course Fritzy just smiled, and I said, Fritzy, I can remember right back here where Tana, Steve Arnett, I can remember that Sunday. How many of you remember that Sunday when Brian stood and he says, I'd like to announce that Fritzy and I are going to become a grandmama and a grandpa. Do you remember that Sunday? How many of you remember that? Now, how many of you remember the next Sunday? He stands again and he says, did I mention that Fritzy and I are going to become a grandma and a grandpa? Good news cannot be contained. Good news cannot ultimately be silenced. When you are joyful in your heart, you want anyone within earshot to receive the testimony of that good news. That brings us to the text this morning. A leper, of all things, a leper. Now, how in the world he got to Jesus, I don't know. Because remember, the lepers are thrown outside the city. I mean, they're thrown outside the city. The Levitical law, chapters 11 through 15. The leper is not even fit to worship God in God's presence. According to Leviticus 11 through 15. Hence, be very careful about proof texting. Be very careful about doing that, right? Right? Clearly it's stated, the lepers are unfit to be in the presence of God. A leper came to Jesus begging and kneeling before him. The leper says to him, Lord, if you choose, you can make me clean. And moved with compassion, the Lord, who was God in the flesh, right? God in the flesh. The Word made flesh dwelling among us, right? The Lord moved with compassion, stretched forth his hand. Now remember before, it would be just speak the word, Lord, and my servant will be healed. Just speak the Lord, and my child will be healed. Just speak the word, Lord. That's all you have to do, speak. That's all that was necessary. What did Jesus do? This is profound, folks, this is profound. Moved with compassion, the Lord stretched forth his hand and touched the leper, saying, I do will. It is my will. I do choose. Be made clean. And immediately the leprosy left him, and he was made clean. Now after sternly, one version says the Lord was indignant. Don't gloss that. There's a reason for that. It's one of those speed bumps we talk about, Brother Warren. It's a speed bump. You know, you're reading along, well, this is the loving Lord. After sternly warning him, Jesus sent him away, saying to him, see that you say nothing to anyone, but rather go show yourself to the priest and offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded as a testimony for them. But here again, he went out and, Shelley, he began to proclaim it openly to spread the word so that Jesus could no longer enter a town openly, but stayed out in the country, and people came to him nevertheless from every quarter. Now this speed bump. Okay, so here again, the recurring theme in Mark. Why does the Lord sternly order him to say nothing? Why the silence? Because as one commentary says, he has now become the rock star rabbi, to use a modern colloquialism. He's become a rock star rabbi. His core mission is to proclaim the message. He says this again and again. The message is the gospel, the good news, that because the kingdom of God is now breaking in, because it is now, by the grace of God, made available to us, we can now open our hearts and we can repent. We can experience a turnaround. Like I said, that conduit. Imagine a big conduit that now is turned in the direction of the source of all, the Creator God. And now all the Spirit of God flows through the conduit into the creature. Healing takes place. And that healing is now possible through Jesus, through the gospel, through the Holy Spirit. It is now possible for the entire world. And if Jesus is tied up with one-on-one healings, he can't be about his core mission, which is to proclaim the kingdom of God. That's what it's about. Now, having said that, okay, again, Shelley, good news can't be contained. Good news can't be silenced. And there's not a soul, not a commentary on earth that doesn't appreciate and empathize with this poor leper. That he is going out, he's just overshadowed, because he had leprosy. Unclean. Now that was the formula. They were to shout unclean so that no one would ever draw near to them. They were ostracized in every possible way. Here they are dying of a wretched disease, and then on top of it, they have to shout unclean. Now, how do you think that made them feel? So of course the man is thrilled. You know, according to the Guinness Book of World Records, leprosy is the oldest known recorded disease. Archaeologists have found written records of leprosy, today known as, more properly, Hansen's disease. They have found written records of leprosy dating back to 1350, 1300 BC in Egypt. And from its very origin, this wretched disease, which disfigured a soul before they died, was also coupled with that word, 1350 BC, the word accompanying leprosy was unclean. So it's not just the Hebrew people. Unclean, unclean, unclean. And so now at last, you know, here comes someone who will draw near, who dares to reach out to touch an untouchable. This, I'm sure even the disciples were appalled at this. Bishop Fulton J. Sheen, one of my father's favorite bishops. Bishop Fulton Sheen told a humorous tale, Randy. He said there was a dignified woman who came to call on him one night with a rather haughty, condescending accent and air about her. And she explained to the bishop, she says, Bishop Sheen, I would like to become a Catholic, but I would not want to be instructed by any ordinary priest. For I am an intellectual, and researching your background, I was wondering if you might be willing to intellectualize your faith for me. Bishop Fulton Sheen, Randy, the great bishop, he looked across that room and he says to this woman, I imagine he sighed when he heard that, right? But he looked at her. He says, Madam, I would gladly instruct anybody who comes to me. Why, as a matter of fact, a young man with leprosy, having just completed his instructions, sat in that very chair upon which you are seated now, madam. Bishop Sheen said she levitated. She flew out of that room. He never saw her again. Such is the response to leprosy. Unclean, unclean. But here comes one who has sensed that he's in the presence of God. He's in the presence of the Word made flesh. This is the Christ. This is the Lord, the Creator. And so he cries out, Lord, if you're willing, you can make even me clean. And moved with compassion, Jesus stretches out his hand. He touches him and he says, I do will be made clean. Oh, what joy, Shelly, what joy. He couldn't help but go out and share that joy. Now, to bring it to our front doorsteps for all of us, the Bible does make it very clear that before the cross of Calvary, we were all unclean. You don't have to have the physical disease known as leprosy. We were unclean, not because of a physical disease. We were unclean because of sin. And yet, in love, Jesus reached down from the cross and he stretched out his hand and he touched all of us, all humanity, because he loves us. To heal us of sin, to take away the uncleanness of sin, to cleanse us of sin. That is the love of the Lord. And we all need that. I mean, you know, sin can be elusive. And we can fool ourselves. I dare say we've all got skeletons in our closets. But there are some souls who just, this very notion seems to evade them. For instance, I heard a true story. There was a young boy, student, whose towel was stolen during a school swimming trip. His irate mother called the school, demanded to talk to his teacher, and she said to his teacher, she says, What kind of delinquents are in my son's class that they would steal his towel of all things? Well, the teacher tried to calm her down, Dick. She says, well, madam, I'm sure it's probably just a misunderstanding. What does the towel look like? Well, it's white, she said. Oh, and it has Holiday Inn written on it. Paul says we have all sinned. And we are continuing to fall short of the glory of God. Where would we be without the love of the cross, huh? Mother Teresa worked with lepers all throughout her career. And you know what she said about it? She said, you know, we've got drugs for people with diseases like leprosy, but none of the drugs we have treat the real problem, the disease of being unwanted. If there's anyone this morning, we're going to have a big table fellowship, and you think about what you're going to take out into the community. If there's anyone within your sphere of influence who has been, let us say, socially isolated for whatever reason, reach out to them and touch them as Jesus has reached out to us, all right? So that they too, Shelley, can know a joy that cannot be contained, a joy that no power can ever silence again. And the leper came to him, begging him, and kneeled before him, and said, Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean. And Jesus stretched out his hand, moved with compassion, he touched him, saying to him, I do will be made clean. And immediately the leprosy left him, and he was made clean. Amen. At this time, the ushers will assist us in the morning offering. Let us pray together. God, we humbly offer these gifts into your service as we proclaim your good news to those whose eyes are yet veiled. In our living and in our giving, help us proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord. Celebrative piece before we get ready for the big banquet. We've got a big, big table fellowship coming. And this hymn 380 bears within my heart a melody. Once again, Shelley and Steve, thank you so much for allowing us to a wonderful glimpse of that wonderful joy, and congratulations to you. And now may the love of God the Father, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the communion, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit rest and abide with us all now and forever. Amen.